If you have your Bibles today, I encourage you to open to John chapter 8. John chapter 8 is where we're going to find ourselves in God's Word today. If you don't have a Bible with you today, you can find one in the chair rack in front of you. It's on page 894. There are seven I ams in the book of John. We get to deal today with the phrase, I am the light of the world. We've already looked at the first one. If you remember what the first one was, I am the bread of life. Very important one for us. Later, we're going to look at, I am the gate, I am the good shepherd, I am the resurrection and the life, I am the way, truth, and the life, I am the vine. Now, that's not me saying that, that's Jesus proclaiming that. He was the one who had the great I ams. He is the great I am. And then he gives us these word pictures. And so today he says, I am the light of the world. Do you believe that Jesus is truly the light of the world? I hope that you do. We live in a day and age, and let me share with you some of the things that we get to deal with. Depression. Some of you might be there this morning. Cancer. Most of us in this room have been touched by cancer somewhere along the way, either individually or we know of someone. Suicide. Stress. Darkness. Political upheaval. Anybody know of any political upheaval type events that are going on? Oh yeah, there's a wall that may be closing, and we may close Mexico, and we're supposed to go on a mission trip to Mexico. How's that going to work if we can't get across? Flooding. Death. Tragedies. Marital mix-ups. Abortion. Some of you are privileged to go, I don't know if it's privileged or not, but you went and watched a movie called Unplanned. Sexual confusion. Car problems. aren't car problems good? Job situations. Family messiness. I'd ask for a show of hands, but every hand should be up in the room. How many of you have family messiness? We all do. Praise God. Is Jesus the light of the world despite all of that? Yes, he is. Despite any of that, Jesus is still the light of the world. Are you walking in that light? Let's join in scripture here. John chapter 8. I'm going to start at verse 12, and then I'm going to go through verse 20. Something that you should be aware of if you don't have a red letter Bible. A lot of this is red letter, and it's Jesus speaking. And may he speak to you this morning by the reading of his word. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, you are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered, even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going, but you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law, it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. They said to him, therefore, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. Ouch, by the way, that's kind of a ouch. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. First thing I want you to see is this. The light of the world is Jesus. Pretty simple. The light of the world is Jesus. They would have known some of these scriptures, and please hear them. Psalm chapter 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Isaiah 60, verse 19. The Lord will be your everlasting light. Job 29, 3. By his light I walked through darkness. Micah 7, 8. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 18, 28. For it is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness. 1 John 1, 6. If we say we have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Revelation 21, 23, the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and the Lamb is its lamp. Do you believe this? If so, how are you living according to the light that is in the world? Now, God gave us a great light. And I've mentioned this before, but who knew that as we designed this building, that sometimes during the fall and the spring, that the sun would come in and really mess up me as a preacher at times because it shines like right here during the service. That wasn't the plan. How did that happen? I don't know, but it did. And we haven't put any blinds up or anything. We just leave the windows open. We've been given the sun. You and I did nothing to achieve the sun. It just comes up every day. We missed it yesterday for a little bit. If you live in the valley especially, it's like, where did this fog come from? But the sun was still there. We enjoy its light and warmth. It's a gift to us. We even enjoy the light reflected from the sun on the moon in the night. But that is not the light. The light is Jesus. He is the one that shines brighter. He is the one that shines. All others, even us, will fail when we try to shine that light, but Jesus shines brightly. Now, you got to understand what was happening here. This was probably still during the Festival of Tabernacles, as we've talked, the Festival of Booths. And so they had a special ceremony that may have been the backdrop for this declaration. On the first day, during the evening, there was a ceremony called the illumination of the temple. It happened in the court of women. There were four great candelabras, candle holders, that were in the center. And these four great candelabras were lit, and it was said that it was so bright that it shone throughout Jerusalem. Now, that's pretty impressive. And every courtyard was lit up with the brilliance of the light. That's impressive. All night long, until the rooster crowed, the greatest and the wisest and the holiest men of Israel danced before the Lord and sang songs of joy and praise. And it is as if Jesus is right in the midst of the saying, you think these candelabras are really good, but I am the light of the world. Our hearts, each of our hearts, are darkened with sin when we are born. We need a light to wake us up, and that light is Jesus. I trust that your soul feels illuminated with God's presence, his light shining through you. You ever been in a situation where things were being discussed and you wondered what really was the truth and you weren't sure what the truth was? Some of it might be as a parent. You're like, well, is my son telling the truth or is my daughter telling the truth? Who do I go with here? Maybe you've dealt with that. But then all of a sudden, something comes where the light shines on the problem, and you have the answer because the light shined on it. That's what happens in our lives when Jesus is talking to us, and we're like, I'm not sure where to go, what to do. And he says, come to me. I'm the light of the world. I will shine if you just let me. When light is allowed to flow freely, fears are relieved Obstacles are noticed. Paths are figured out. Peace is prevalent. A number of you are way past this part of your life. I hope, anyway. As a young kid, some of you might have been scared of the dark. And if it was really dark out, you were like, oh my, it's dark. And then movies like Monsters, Inc. come out. I don't know if you've watched Monsters, Inc. How does that help a kid? I mean, seriously. But if the room is dark, what do? You go put a nightlight into the electrical outlet, or some of you might have turned a kerosene lamp on real dim to have some little bit of light. And that little bit of light, what did it do? It relieved your fears. Jesus is the light of the world. And no matter what dark place you find yourself in, if Jesus is there, he shines brightly. John Jones, in the sermon, tells a story that he had from a friend. John's friend was a pilot, and the pilot flew combat choppers in Vietnam. This pilot was asked to fly a secret mission, and he was told to fly in total darkness. I don't even want to fly, because I don't have those skills. Many of you do not as well. But think of flying in total darkness. There's things on the dashboard, or I don't know if they call them dashboards, but I'd call it a dashboard, the instruments. And so he had to fly by instruments, had to trust the instruments. And there was great cloud cover. The pilot said this: you could cut the darkness with a knife. I don't know if you've ever been in a place like that where you could cut the darkness with a knife. And the landing was going to be ever so small. And so he radioed down. He said, could I have a little help? And the helper on the ground said, I have a Zippo. And the pilot said, light it and hold it up. So in the middle of Southeast Asia, in Vietnam, in total darkness, a combat chopper pilot landed by the light of a Zippo lighter that pierced the darkness. As Pastor Bradley and I were talking about this message, we talked about, should we darken windows and should I have a big spotlight? Because right now, this doesn't do a lot for you, does it? It's not shining all that bright. Do you know why? Because you're shining God's light. It's pretty vibrant in here today. Because God's light shines through you. I'll talk about that in just a couple of moments. In the darkest places, even the smallest light shines. Hear me in this. Jesus is the light of the world shining through you. You don't have your own light. Actually, the Bible says in Matthew, it says, Jesus says this, you are the light of the world. And how do we, Jesus says, I am the light of the world, but then he says, you are the light of the world. How does that happen? Is he the light or are we the light? This is what I believe. When Jesus shines his light in us, he shines his light out of us. We can't contain his light. We can't contain all of those fruits of the Spirit. We just can't do it. When he truly is living within us, his Spirit is living within us, we can't contain it. I think of love. Some of you have some cranky people in your life. Amen? There's only about two of you. Surprise, surprise. But you love them. Why? Because Jesus' love overwhelms you and you love them. Some of you have some annoying neighbors. I don't think I live by any of you, and so that's. Some of you have annoying neighbors, and how do you love them? Because Jesus' love shines through you. You are the light of the world. And no matter what place you're in, even if it seems very, very dark, your light is shining. Here's how I know this. If you still have your scriptures open, look at John chapter 9, verses 4 and 5. You don't even have to turn the page if you're in the ESV and the chair Bible. Here's what it says. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. We get to be the light. Or if you want to turn over to John chapter 11, verses 9 and 10, Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. If you're stumbling, the light's not in you. When Christ shines in your life, he shines through you. May we be ones that go to the light, and may his light shine brightly in our lives. We, you and I, have a great responsibility to be reflectors of the great light living within us. How are you doing with that? There's darkness of sorrow, there's darkness of ignorance, there's darkness of impurity, and God shines his light through us. Are you walking in darkness? Here's what John 3:19 says, and this is the verdict. The light has come into the world, but men love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. Being at church helps us to be reconnected to the light of Jesus. We can stay connected to a bunch of things, but if we're not connected to Jesus, we will miss it. The second thing I want you to see from this passage is this. Who are you following? There's a condition for this. We must follow Jesus. We must first come to the light and accept the light. Then we must follow the light so we can know the way. We follow a number of things. I thought about following some of you. I thought about following some of you on the big screen, but I resisted the temptation. I was going to follow you and be a Facebook creeper and let everybody else be the Facebook creeper and watch what you follow on by watching your Facebook. Some of you do that. Oh, I wonder how... look what he posted. And we follow that. That's okay. But are you following Jesus? If we looked at your Facebook, if you do Facebook, would it be, that person's a Christian. I can see that in that individual. We follow Twitter. We follow the editorial. Some of you wait till the morning to open the paper and read the editorial. Some of you follow certain authors. Oh, I can't wait for that author to come out with another book. Oh, that's good. Authors aren't bad. Some of us follow teachers. Some of us follow coaches. Some of you know that. Maybe you are a coach and others follow you. Isn't that interesting? Some of you follow NCAA basketball. And so 5 hours of your life yesterday was taken to watch a guy dribble off the back of his leg. If you didn't follow NCAA basketball, you don't care about that. Some of you follow football, and you're excited about the trades of Antonio Brown. Some of you follow the newest invention or the latest medical procedure or a tax code or the best sporting equipment. Are you and I following Jesus? Is there something in our life? Does our checkbook show that we follow Jesus? We spend a lot of money, don't we? Mm-hmm. By the way, there's some free stuff on the table. You don't have to pay anything for that. Could someone examine each of our lives and say, that's a follower of Jesus? Or would something else drown out who you are following? And here are some possibilities of that. Maybe a family member is who you are following instead of Jesus. Maybe it is a child or a spouse or a grandparent. Maybe it's a sport. Any of us in this room follow a sport more than we follow Jesus? Maybe it's a job. Some of us work way too much. Some of us follow money. Some of us follow an addiction. If you know you're being followed, do you act differently? Try it someday. Get in front of a cop. All of a sudden, that blinker that you never use, oh, I should use that. All of a sudden, you grab right up over here and you put your seatbelt on. All of a sudden, when you come to the stoplight or the stop sign, you stop a little differently, don't you? Follow Jesus every day, every moment of the day. Read his word in the morning. Read it at noon. Read it at night. Sometime, please read his word every day. When we read his word and feast on him, he does a marvelous working within. Number three, if you follow Jesus, you will have the light of life. This is countercultural. Some would say this, the Christian life is boring. The Christian life is dull. If you're young in the room, well, you're going to miss out on life. I'm telling you, if you follow the Christian life, there is so much joy. Here's what Jesus said. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. And that's what happens when you go down the line of sex, drugs, rock and roll, and alcohol and all those things. That's darkness. That takes you down a dark path. But whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John likes the light concept. In another of his books, 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. John 12:26, while you have the light, believe in the light so that you may become sons of light. To follow here means a couple of different things, possibly. Five meanings that it possibly might mean. Number one, a soldier following his captain. Some of you understand that. Oh, that's what it means to follow. Number two, a slave accompanying his master. Oh, that's what it means to follow. Or maybe follow would be number three, accepting a wise counselor's opinion. Oh, I should follow that person's advice. Number four, giving obedience to the laws of a city or a state. Or number five, following a teacher's lines of argument. Here's what one has said. To be a follower of Christ is to give oneself, body, soul, and spirit into the obedience of the master, and to enter upon that following is to walk in the light. Jesus knew where he came from, and he was confident in that. You can know of your relationship with Christ and be confident in him as well. Number four, the Father sent the Son. I haven't dwelt much on this in this passage. I've talked more about Jesus being the light of the world, but there's a whole discourse here about, well, they're saying, who are you? And there has to be two witnesses. And there did have to be two witnesses in Deuteronomy chapter 19. One witness is not enough to convict a man accused of any crime or offense he may have committed. A matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. And Jesus is saying, I have two witnesses, myself and my Father, but you don't know my Father. And so because you don't know my Father, you don't know the two witnesses. It couldn't be backed up by Jesus' word alone. It was backed up by God himself. Jesus is the light of the world. Maybe you've come in today and you're just in a dark time in your life. Maybe you don't know Christ as your personal Savior. I ask that you would come to Jesus as the light of the world. Maybe you're a Christian and it's just dark right now. Trust in Jesus as the light of the world. If you're not in a dark time right now, trust me. It's going to come. Because there's a testimony of a number of people here that I would, if I was to take a moment and you're following Christ, I would say, tell me of a dark time in your life where it was just kind of dark. It was difficult. And God, in his light, has shone through in that light. Or maybe you need to be a light for somebody else. Used to sing the little Sunday school song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let Jesus' light shine through you. Darkness is all around us, but so is light. No plant or animal can live without light. We have the light of the world. As you awaken each morning this week and see the sun, know that Jesus is the light of the world. As you turn on the light switches in your houses, know that Jesus is the light of the world. As you flick on a light like this, or you flick on a candle or a match this summer in the campfire, remember that Jesus is the light of the world. As the sun shines brightly in your eyes, trust in the light of the world, and may his light shine through you. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you that you are the light of the world. Thank you, God, for being patient with many of us because we tried to crowd that dark, or we tried to crowd that light out and let that dark continue. God, thank you for your light that you shine. Thank you for being the light of the world. And as we leave today, I pray that we'd be reminded, or for the very first time, trust in you as the light of the world. There are a number of dark things. Help us not to go with those dark things, but may our lives be one that show that you are the light of the world. God, I pray for someone specific in this room today. They have been going through a dark time. It's been difficult. God, would you shine brightly on that individual or those individuals today? And may you allow them to know that you are the light and that you can point them to greatness. And then, God, I pray for somebody else here that they think of someone that they know who's just going through a very difficult time. Help your light to shine through them, and may they help lead someone else to you. Thanks for being gracious to us. Thank you for your love. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.